Peter Dirk Ace on the line. Very good morning to you.
Hi, guys. Good morning to you too.
As you know, Peter, I've stalked you your entire life and all your moves, your many moves. I believe you're in Cape Town now, hanging on to the edge of the continent.
Actually, no, I'm still in Darling. I'm still in Darling. One foot in Darling, one foot in Cape Town. We call Darling our Downton Abbey, and Cape Town is Grosvenor Square. So we divide our energies.
Or Grosvenor Square, more Hyde Park, right? We got with that semigration there and all the Kugels in town.
All the Kugels in town, and lots of interesting people have come in from the world. I'm amazed to see how many tourists have arrived with big smiles. That's a nice change from the tensions of the last 3 years and wondering what's going to happen tomorrow.
And what are they smiling at?
You know, you look at Table Mountain and you've got to laugh. Mm. You can't believe the cheek of it all. I mean, this huge piece of rock just out of nowhere, there it is. And I think all of us around Table Mountain are a little bit crazy. I think it sort of infects us with the madness, which I quite like, Cape Town madness. Mm. So I think the tourists come for a bit of that as well.
And they look at our prices and they think, hell yeah.
Yep, they could buy a house for £42.
I've just got a message from somebody saying, I'm busy reading your book, A Part Hate, A Part Love, for about the 10th time. It's absolutely hilarious, with a strong message of where we were and where we are now. Nothing much has changed. Same drama, different personalities, small groups of people raping the nation. Dave, Edenvale, is he spot on?
That's wonderful. Gosh, that's a book I wrote in 1990. It was just after Nelson Mandela's freedom, and I suddenly realized that the whole geography of the future is going to change, and Evita needed a biography. So I wrote this book, and it's amazing. I'm just so glad to hear that it's still being looked at and read. It was a very interesting experience because P.W. Botha features in the book as himself, and I believe that when the book came out, he wanted to sue me. He was still the Prime Minister when the 1990. He was around to 89. No, he'd already retired. But people said that if he took me to court, he would have to stand behind Evita Posadnet because she would also sue me for libel. So it just went from mad to madder. But thank you for the message. That's great. A Part Hate, A Part Love. Also a nice title.
I mean, it's a bit like having a dinner party and you go into the kitchen and there's no food left in the bowl. I should imagine when somebody rereads the book, you know, that's a success.
Well, I don't know about the food. It's a different menu. You know, I really look at where I come from in my work and I look where I'm now. And the material is so bizarre. I mean, just look what's happened with the mayor of Swane in Pretoria. This crazy nonsense about this man who had all the wrong documents, and they were all forged. Listen, I couldn't make that up on stage. So the reality of life is actually forcing me to sit on the sidelines and just say, my goodness, who thought that one up? And so with his sofa. I mean, hello.
I know. I mean, how tacky, right? You've got to think, if you're going to do that, I mean, why there? But you absolutely, I mean, that Swine Mayor, it just blows my mind, doesn't it, on so many levels. I mean, the fact that, you know, apparently he duped us on the way in, and then knowing that the whole country is watching him, he continues to try to dupe us. And then it's like, oh, gosh, okay, well, that one didn't work. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to step back so that our services will continue.
Yes, and now we have this wonderful Minister of Electricity, and he will come and knock at your door and blow out your candles.
I mean, probably one of the funniest must be Fikile Mbalula. I mean, I don't think he realizes how funny he is because of some of the implausible comments he makes.
Well, I hope he's there forever because really, if there's anybody who will sort of destroy the ANC, it's him. I mean, he put transport to bed, he put everything else to bed. No, really, I mean, honestly, I pay tribute to my inspired scriptwriters. I mean, even Lindiwe Sisulu, who's now on the sidelines, please keep her there because I've already written her into one of my shows. So I'm really full steam ahead now, very inspired by the nonsense above above the board. But, you know, politicians work for us. We don't work for them. We are turning them into the royal family. You know, just tell them to get on with their jobs. And also find the good politicians. There are some very, very good politicians in all the political parties. We must just find out who they are and tell them to get on being better, because we need good people. Otherwise, we're going to just suffocate completely.
That's such a good point, Peter, isn't it? I mean, it's a bit like the Nahawu strike. You know, the bad behavior then overshadows or mutes those who are going there and doing a good job. And we have to have good politicians. I cannot believe that we don't have good politicians. I mean, I was covering Sona, and you know, you get them walking down the red carpet, which just, you know, I mean, it's just wrong, as they're, you know, flying, you know, between cities and poisoning our planet. And you realize that our politicians are revered. They are considered, they see themselves as celebrities, and many South Africans view them as celebrities. And therefore, you know, at least celebrities do some work.
Well, absolutely. The ones also who on the red carpet who do work actually aren't on the red carpet. They're wearing their Crocs so they don't fall, and they get on and they immediately work. I have good friends in politics. It's all my life. And they are really not people with a negative view. They all look at the future by saying, listen, that's the way it is. We've just got to make sure that the wheels don't come off. The hubcaps have fallen off, but the wheels must still keep turning. And still, again, let us not forget that we have got freedom of speech, freedom of expression. We have a constitution. They're trying to kill it, but they can't get to it because they haven't got the password. Thank heavens. You know, democratically elected governments are finding democratically accepted ways to destroy democracy. It's happening all over the world. It's happening in America. It's trying to happen in the UK. It certainly happens in many countries in Europe. I mean, I think while we were suffocating with COVID, terrified, not knowing what was going to happen, some clever people were looking at us and thinking, by the time this will be recovered, they will have been so exhausted, we'll invade Ukraine. And that's basically what they did. So the world has changed completely. Gear change.
And I mean, I know you like to keep up with politicians. I mean, the revolving door of politics that we saw in the UK over the last sort of 6 months, I mean, that must have kept you busy.
It's wonderful to know that the Prime Minister of the UK is still the same person who was Prime Minister yesterday. Yes, I do tease my British friends. You know, I said, you know, they say, but it's so terrible. You have, you know, blackouts, and I said, no, darling, you get used to the blackouts, and you're going to get into the blackouts soon. So, first of all, there's no place to hide, and second of all, you look at the world and you think, At least the bad smells around me are smells I recognize. Overseas, I find them very difficult to come to terms with. And it just worries me that actually the bottom line is that, you know, people always say the right wing is resurging, the resurgence of the right wing. The right wing never resurges. It's always right out there, the left wing.
In your face.
You know what I mean? And we don't do our jobs. We don't protect democracy. Democracy is here. Fantastic. No, democracy is fragile. Just one huge sneeze from the wrong side and it flies off the table. And I say this to the young people that I see constantly, especially the ones that I've got to know in my community here, who used to be little pookies in the old days, and we dance and do the toy toy lekker ding and do Evita Bersadin's look-alike competitions. I mean, from nine-year-old kids, it was the most wonderful thing. They're now teenagers. And they are bright kids. And I met two of them a few months ago at the spa, and I said, how are you? And they said, lekker man. I said, how's school going? And they laughed. They said, no, Peter, we don't go to school. We are in the gang, and they've got gold teeth. And, you know, I just thought, oh, my God, we're leading by example. You know, the ANC is just making we all aware that crime does pay, and these young people who really should be sitting behind computers knowing exactly how to rule and develop an alphabet are just in the gang, and that's where they will be until they die within the next few months. It's a horrendous situation.
No, it really is. I mean, I remember during lockdown, some old granny, I mean, late 80s, early 90s, and she was arrested for selling acha on the streets. And you think of the plunder that was happening at that stage. I mean, I believe when it comes to exotic, super expensive luxury cars, we were booming. I believe when it comes to the sale of exotic, expensive labels, South Africa is right up there with the Middle East. I mean, it's showing that something is very, very wrong, very skew.
Yeah, but I think also they're using the wrong words, meaning that they say plan those words, like state of disaster. The moment you are in a state of disaster, you become a victim. Why didn't they call it a state of renewal?
Mm.
A state of renewal, which means, okay, let's move forward and fix it. But disaster means shut up, sit in the corner, and don't make a noise.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what to do.
I have a new agenda. I have a new agenda now. I mean, I just look around, especially after COVID, when so many extraordinary things happened in the community, people helping each other, the awareness of somebody living next door. Did you know who they were? Did you know their names? No, actually, I don't. Well, knock on the door and see if they're okay. And that's something we must never lose. And let us make community the jewel in the crown of democracy. Let service delivery start on ground level.
Mm.
And once you are in a community, people know each other, trust each other, listen to each other, discuss things, give them the respect of saying to them, what do you think? How do you want your children to grow up? We have got an early childhood development center here in Darling, which is part of the Darling Trust. We have 75 little chochas every year. They are between, they're like four, five, six years old. You know, watching these little creatures suddenly build up self-confidence, suddenly realize they're allowed to ask questions, suddenly laugh and dance and create things and paint things and ask, wonderful. It should be for every child, every young child, up to the seventh grade should be free education without any question, right from preschool, and then we'll have a future. At the moment, we've got children who are in what we call matric 12th grade, can't read because they don't know how, can't write. What are we talking about here? We're talking about something terrifying. So a lot of work can happen. I've also got some retired people around me because my show, my new show is called Sell-By Date.
Yeah.
And I just found out that there are so many retired people with an enormous amount of energy in this country who can do so much to help, like school kids, get the school kids after school in the classroom and come and help with their homework. I mean, there's a lot we can do. I'm tired of the negative. I'm tired of people saying, oh, God, isn't it terrible? Nothing is terrible until you look in the mirror. Then it's terrible.
I think we've got to realize we are here. This is our country. We love it. We have to make it work. Government's not going to ever do anything about it. I mean, we've been trying to get hold of Imtiaz Suleiman, and you know how popular he is because he is actually going out and doing something. So the only way, and I agree with you, the only way we're going to get anything to change is if we do it ourselves. And there are lots of us. And in fact, we are the majority. I think the positive people who want positive change in this country are the majority. We just have to tap into them.
And not to be scared to say that.
Yeah.
People mustn't be scared to say, I actually am very excited about the future of South Africa.
Mm.
And the hiccup is here, but that's what politics is all about. There's always going to be a mess.
Mm.
But we must also realize that there's a balance. So for every piece of bad news, there are two pieces of good news, but you don't find it because it's working. It's scrubbing the floor. Look for the good news and celebrate it. The bad news is going to blind you with all its nonsense. And they're doing a damn good job at the moment.
Yeah, they really are.
But then again, I call it my script writers. I've always said the government writes my material, so I am full steam ahead. I didn't realize I would have so much inspiration after COVID. I mean, I do pencil in everything. I only ink in 24 hours before the next event.
Because it changes so quickly.
It changes very quickly.
Tell us about your relationship with snails during COVID.
Well, you know, the one thing about COVID is you couldn't go out, you didn't want to go out, but you had a garden. You suddenly discovered your garden and the living things in your garden and snails. And I suddenly thought, they need names. And they were all called Henry. Henry, little snail, don't step on your friend. But then again, you don't want your friend to eat your other friend. That's a little plant. So you take your snail and you throw it into the next door neighbor's garden with it. But
yeah,
really, truly, the discovery of how nature just looked at us in our trauma during lockdown, and nature got on with its job. And it was a great inspiration. So yeah, me and my snails, and the cat and the dog, and all these wonderful pets that just made one realize that there is life beyond all the cloud. I'm very happy with my garden and my snails.
Weekend Breakfast
on 702. Let's walk the talk.
We've got Peter Dirk Ace on the line. And Peter, I suspect that you might be suffering from what I am. My nose is a bit like a colander at the moment. And I think we might both might have a little bit of flu.
Oh, no. Oh, well, just keep warm. Keep warm. And there's nothing like a nice whiskey.
Well, yes. Okay. Now, I promise you that yellow stuff in my glass is not whiskey at the moment. How are things in Darling? And just before you answer that, I really would love our listeners to get in touch with you and ask you about your incredible life. I mean, you've seen and met most of our presidents. I mean, you know, who really stood out for you? So let the calls begin. 011-883-0702, 072-702-1702 is our WhatsApp number, and you can SMS us on 31702. So, Darling, what's happening there? Are you also seeing an influx of people from this part of the world?
Yeah, there is an interest in the West Coast, which is always lovely because it's a very unique part of the country. I think everybody is trying to take a deep breath and recover from the freeze frame of those 2.5 years of lockdown. It's had a huge impact on everybody in the world. I mean, I know maybe the one not important thing, yes, important thing about the COVID was we were all in the same boat. Nobody was sitting outside saying, oh, well, it's happening to you, not to me. That was a thing that united the world and united the community. And so I'm looking forward very much to the new little things happening, new little shops, new little coffee shop, and just a sense of adventure, a sense of, I call it madness, you know, when I moved to Darling and I took over the railway station, turned it into a theater, and I said to my friends in Cape Town, I'm going to start a theater in Darling. They said, Darling, you're mad. And I thought, oh, what a wonderful thing. Yes, mad.
I am.
That means nobody thought about it. If they'd said, oh, yes, Darling, that's great. Too many fingerprints on that. So I love the madness of people. And again, coming to meeting people over a certain age. They're not 50, they are 65, they are 70, starting something new. And I think to myself, yeah, man, that's great, taking the children up to the SPCA and introducing the little four-year-olds to pets, to let them touch a cat and a dog for the first time without fear. Because fear has become the oxygen of the world. We are so frightened that we might be wrong that we don't try and be right. And I just want people to make a mistake and then say, oops, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to use that word. And don't use that word again. But words are words, you know. Actions are much more dangerous. Mm. But Darling is looking good, and I'm very happy in Darling. Love it.
I'd love to hear the name
as well.
It's such a good name. I'd love to find out from you what sort of comments you get from people, particularly who are coming from overseas and they rock up in Darling. And what do they say about our country that they enjoy that's different for them?
Well, it's lovely to meet the people who have been here before. There are people who come every year. Come to Cape Town every year, and they get into their cars and they come up to Darling, because very luckily, Evita Cipirone has got 5 stars in every tourist manual. So we really have sometimes 50%, 60% of my audience are from other countries, not overseas only, also African countries, but from Nigeria, from Uganda, from Egypt. And they also get YouTube, and there's a lot of Evita on YouTube, so she has fans in some most peculiar places. But everybody comes because they love the air. They love the fact that there's breath, and they can actually walk on a beach, and they can actually just put their feet in the water and look ahead at the horizon, that the next stop is South America. I mean, it's a huge, big... It's a big world here as well, and of course, when it's flower time, that's also a great attraction. Mm. But it's the people. I think people have overseas people come here to see their friends. They've made friends, and it's friendship has brought them back.
And, you know, when I lived in London, I always felt that my head was really stimulated and my body had died. And then I would fly over. So I could always tell when I was over Africa because my body would come alive and my brain, of course, obviously. But I mean, I think what's incredible about our continent is nature and being in the moment, you know, putting your feet in that famous soil and feeling it. I mean, it's important. And you read research about how important nature is to put our feet on that soil, to look up at that mountain, to be one with the clouds.
To be one with the clouds, and the clouds above me here in South Africa are high up. When you're in London, you've got to use an umbrella to push the clouds off your head because it's just there, you know. But the one thing also about this extraordinary country of ours is, and many people from overseas comment on it when they talk to me, they say, my God, you've got such creative freedom. And that's true. We have the most incredible creative freedom, artistic freedom in this country. I mean, here we sit and talk to each other on the phone. We can have an idea, get together for 3 times, and then it could work as a movie, it could work as a book. But the trouble is that ends there. There is a sort of a black hole outside, meaning where does your product go? Mm. It's very, very difficult to actually sell your product or get people involved in it because I think everybody's frightened about it, or maybe they just don't know how to sell it. I mean, I've got a new book, well, it's just a few books. The first new book was during COVID, when the one thing I thought I must do is let me just actually put all my reviews, my satirical reviews, into my website, because my plays are there. The play scripts are there, but not the reviews. Because it's difficult to put in a review that was done, a show that was done 40 years ago. You know, it's just people need explanation. Anyway, so I went through all the ones that the shows I did during apartheid, Adapt or Die, Beyond the Rubicon, from 1981 to 1994, realized that I needed to write a backstory just to put the characters into perspective, and then also realized that I needed another backstory to explain the absurdity of apartheid, the crazy madness that was destroying the world for us here. And suddenly I had 480 pages, and I thought, oi, what is this now? And I'll tell you where it is. It is in my website. It's free for everybody, because I thought either it goes into a bookshop, which is fantastic, and then you sort of wait for the third copy to be sold after 3 weeks, or you make it available for anybody who just goes into pdu.co.za, and there is the first volume, One Man Shows, The Black and White Years, and I'm now getting ready with the second volume, which will come out on Freedom Day, which is One Man Shows, The Mandela, the Madiba Rainbow Honeymoon, which takes the reader to the year 2000. So that was just another example of going through all the freedoms and the lack of freedoms that one had, especially during those apartheid years. But the trouble today is people are scared. Self-censorship has become a virus because people think, oh, you can't say that. You can't write that. What do you mean you can't write that? Of course you can write that. The only danger is when you drink too much and you press send, you know, I've got a sign on my computer which says, don't press send when pissed because your life ends, you know. So lots of disciplines have to happen. But I keep on saying to young people, you want to write? Write, you know, write, spend, just write. It is so personal, you don't have to show it to anybody. If you don't like it, you can tear the paper up. But just allow yourself to express yourself. And a sense of humor is a wonderful petrol for your car, your brain car, is just to know that a sense of humor can actually save your life. You know, comedy is great. I love jokes, comedy and jokes. I can't tell jokes. I forget the jokes. I start with the punchline. But humor.
It's a real skill, isn't it? I'm also terrible at telling jokes.
But I love laughing at them, and I love the people who really tell good jokes. I have some friends who just phone me with jokes. Hello, darling, and here comes a joke. But, you know, a sense of humor. Humor is very personal. It's like a fingerprint. Mm. Everybody has got a sense of humor. And that is there for us to survive, meaning laugh at your fear. Mm. And usually it's not funny, but if you actually know where it is and what it is, you can actually survive it. Don't look away from your fear, because then it becomes 20 foot high. Keep your eye on it.
Exactly.
And that's my work. My work is actually helping people in my audience to laugh at fear to actually walk out of the theater and say, did we laugh at that? Why did we laugh at that? It's not funny. It's not funny. It's shocking. But I now know what it is, and it's not going to get close to me and bite me. You know, so it's an interesting path to tread.
But, okay, what you are, you might not be a good joke teller, but you're a superb raconteur. And I love how you tell stories that other people can't really talk about, those sort of personal, or, you know, the way you tackle politicians in such a clever manner that you laugh almost nervously, which is cathartic. And I guess that's why Evita Bazaidenhout was so good, wasn't she? I mean, she's the most, I suspect today, still the most famous white woman in South Africa, but she could tell jokes and get away with it.
Well, you see, she tells jokes, although she doesn't know it's a joke. She has no sense of humor, and that saves her. She has no sense of humor. She never knows why the audience is laughing. She thinks it's very sweet. Oh, she's talking about bio, look. But she's not, and she also doesn't understand irony. And it's very important for me to actually have those disciplines, because if I cross the line, and if Evita, it does a nudge, nudge, wink, wink, you know, ha-ha, she's not there. The character's gone. And that's where she is, and she is now working she's in the ANC, and this is always great fun, having people say to me, I'm not coming to your show because you are selling the African National Congress. I said, no, darling, I'm not doing anything like that. Evita Bazaidenhout is in the kitchen. She's in the place where the maid used to be, but now Afrikaans lady is in the kitchen. She's cooking for reconciliation because she realizes that the way to a politician's mind is not through his brain, it's through his stomach. And when you look at Gwede Mantashe, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And because she's there, she's in the heart of power. You know, Evita can't actually be with the DA because in opposition, it's quite easy to criticize. But once you're in the heart of power, you have to be very careful where you, what jokes you tell. So Evita, yes, she makes people laugh purely because they never thought they would dare laugh at things like that. Mm. And that's okay. And she's still going strong. I thought COVID had killed her because, well, what do you do without an audience? But she is now, she's cut her hair because she couldn't get to the hairdresser.
Yes, I
COVID,
noticed
so
that.
She's got her natural hair color. Mm. And she looks like Helen Mirren, although she says Helen Mirren looks like her. And she's got a new energy. And with her grandchildren, she's getting very involved with young people. This is a new generation who have discovered Evita through YouTube, and it's wonderful having chats to them about that.
But also, I remember you, I think when I first met you, Peter, long time ago in London, and you were sitting next to me as Evita Bazaidenhout, and it's very intimidating, I must say. You look very tall and all that makeup. And you were just saying how you were able to get away with what you got away with because nobody really knew some of the politics. Okay, here's an oak. We don't know sexual persuasion. He's dressed up as a woman, and he's confronting us. What the hell?
Yes. Well, the wonderful thing is Evita would be the first person who'd say Peter Derger should be locked up. Because I used to write letters. She had her own letterhead during apartheid. You know, Evita Bazaidenhout, the ambassador. And I used to write letters to politicians from her. But Botha loved it because he used to write back. You know, we spread the rumor that he was having an affair with her and he started believing it. So Botha used to say, "My lieber ambassador, is a may Scott O'Connor." But it was so a wonderful thing because she wrote a letter to the Minister of Police at one stage, Adrian Flock. And she said, "Adrian, this Peter Derger, not only is he making fun of me, but he dresses up like a woman, and I think there's something wrong with his whole morality. And he's a communist, a terrorist. Lock him up. Slate him up." And off goes the letter. So I thought, ha-ha. Within 2 weeks, a letter comes back addressed to Evita Bazaidenhout, care of Peter Derger. And there's Adrian Flock writing in his hand saying, "Dear Evita, thank you for your letter. We can't lock up Peter Derger because the jails are full of everyone else." And you know, the terrifying thing was the man had a sense of humor. That's a shock.
Yes.
When you suddenly find out that your
target
has a sense of humor. Mm. Who would have thought? So that, but if I got written letters, it wouldn't work because straight away. If I say certain things on stage now, my audience would say, "You can't say that." But Evita can. Mm. So,
and what happened to Babette Kotsweti?
Oh, Babette Kotsweti became part of South Africa. It's somewhere in bits of it is in Mpumalanga, some of it is also in the Northern Cape. It's, you know, there were eight pieces of Babetiko Sweti dotted all over white South Africa. There was a ninth little piece, but it washed out to the sea during the floods. So when Nelson Mandela, and I remember mentioning that to him, I said, you know, President Mandela, you know, when you came to power, Evita lost her homeland. And he said, oh, Evita, that's very bad news, very bad news. He loved her. Oh, Evita, you look so beautiful. He was such a friend of Evita. And it was the most wonderful, the wonderful nonsense. I mean, especially when Evita did the interview for Funny Galore, which is also on YouTube, Evita interviewing Nelson Mandela. I mean, who would have thought? And when he sat opposite her while they put the microphone onto his lapel, I leant forward and I said, President Mandela, thank you for giving us this chance for Evita to talk to her. And he said, no, Peter, I want to be in Evita's show because I've got important things to say and nobody watches the news. And so Vrachtag, he used that New Year message in 1995, which is when it came out on TV, to talk to the police because the police were losing 6-7 people a day. And he just inspired them with his support. And I suddenly thought, you clever man.
Very clever.
The police don't watch the news because their colleagues die on the news, but they watch this man in a dress talking to Mandela. And through humor, he managed to conquer the world. And that's a great lesson for me to learn from.
Smart. And other leaders of South Africa and beyond who you have met who inspire you or who might have surprised you?
Well, I think Helen Zille is fantastic. I think she's brave. She is irritating. She is sometimes you want to say, shut up. But everything she says needs to be researched because there's always a very important bit of information that is there. And I like the way she says, the school teacher that doesn't say, fuck me, cock from a kabota. You know, she really truly lets rip. And it's good to have people who have an opinion. You don't always have to agree with it. So I find her an interesting voice in the wilderness of opinion. I have some very, very good friends who are not famous, who also have great opinions. And I like listening. That's something I've learned going into my 78th year is... don't make such a noise, Peter Dirkes. Listen to other people because their noise can be very, very inspiring as well. So I just say to all politicians, keep doing what you're doing. If you do it badly, I will remind you. Don't worry. And if you're doing it well, let us just knock on their door and say, hey, man, keep going. Keep doing it because you're all we've got. Good politicians are rare, but we've really got to feed them. Give them a chocolate and a kiss and wish them well.
Wish them well. Robert wants to know what you thought when you saw Cyril Cupcake giving Evita fishing lessons in the early 90s.
Well, that was another interview for Funny Galore. That's also on YouTube. It was fantastic. It was the most extraordinary series where the former terrorists, communists, prisoners, all the names we called people in exile, were the new government of South Africa. And I thought, what can we do here? And I thought, Evita must talk to them. And they all just said, yes. They all said, there was no discussion on send us the questions, we've got to talk to your agent and all. It's just, that was it. And there Cyril said, bring Evita, we're on the farm, we're going to catch trout. And in this groot dam, Evita and Cyril in the water with the fishing rods and those big bloomers, you know, those big plastic rubber bloomers that you wear in the water. And the camera was far away. We couldn't even see it. But, you know, on close-up, you can hear and see everything. So we have to act. Cyril has to act with Evita, with a woman who doesn't exist. And it was brilliant. And he said, oh, Evita, you know, all you have to do is don't be nervous. And Evita said, oh, I'm so scared. I might drown. No. You won't drown. I will protect you. He said, I can't swim, but I will protect you. and then she said, oh, Cyril, that's such an inspiration. You know, when in doubt, hang on to Cyril because he can't swim, but he will protect us. And I keep on reminding him of that.
Put that on his epitaph.
And it was wonderful. He was so extraordinary. He was marvelous to talk to. And he cooked trout for Evita in the kitchen, and she said all sorts of things about, gosh, we taught you lots when you were in exile. And then, of course, he talked about his reality of his life. And, you know, when we talked in the, that was 1994, just after the democracy, and I suddenly thought, well, this man, this man is going to be president, and this man is good. And I still say he is a good politician. He might not be doing famous things for people to talk about, but I think he knows what he's doing. So good luck. Good luck to him as well.
Let's just get his va-va-voom back. I know that you and I, we've also spoken about this in the past. I mean, fans of Berlusconi and Trump, mainly because they were really funny. And funny and Trump in quite a sick way sometimes. But
yes.
Do you miss someone like him? Because in a way, what he said was so often so repugnant that it had the right backlash.
Donald Trump, frightening. But Donald Trump wasn't the first one. I think Jacob Zuma was even more frightening.
Continues to be.
But you see, it's I don't know why. Maybe a wave sort of hits the ship, and then all the sailors fall off the ship, and the Hojas come out of the dungeons. And first of all, every democracy deserves the government they get.
Mm.
And 46% of the Americans didn't bother to vote in the election, which brought Donald Trump to power. So they mustn't complain. I think he is very important for us to make sure that he doesn't come back.
Mm.
I was very horrified by Boris Johnson because he was a clown. You know, when once actors take over and forget that they're there to perform a job and not be the job, then we're in trouble. And there are many. Belarus has also got a horrifying man in charge. What's happening in Israel at the moment is very sinister with that Netanyahu gang. Frightening.
Mm.
The Palestinians, I've got Palestinian friends who are terribly concerned about what's happening to their young people, to their children, as all parents. And again, in this country, you know, the parents are always overlooked. We must just remember how extremely important parents are to be able to deliver what they have to deliver for their families in spite of everything. And try and just keep them together.
Mm. I mean, the actors, I want to go back to Berlusconi quickly because I've just remembered, and I don't know if you recall, there was a trial, one of the many that he faced, and basically it had to do with sexual harassment. And the cameras were on him, and he walked out of court, and there was a policewoman ticketing a car, and he went behind her, grabbed her, and gyrated against her. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. I mean, such a monster. And
wow.
I hope she took a clap. I hope she clapped him, clapped his false teeth out of his mouth. The donor. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And it's a thing where you're just above the law, aren't you? It doesn't matter who's watching. You go, yeah, you know.
I'm above the law. But remember what Donald Trump said? He said, you know, I can shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and still become president.
Mm.
I mean, he said that right in the beginning of the unbelievable, terrifying, yeah. And he was right.
Yeah.
No, and the only weapon we have against all these people is humor.
Mm.
The moment you make fun of people with such an ego, they don't know how to fight it because they are there. It's like they deflate their own balloon. So just always don't get angry because angry makes you sick. You get cancer. Don't be angry. Always. Mm. Use your sense of humor to laugh at your fear and to also laugh at the people that threaten you and then run like hell.
but that is so powerful. I mean, if somebody does, you know, hoots at you in the traffic or pulls a zap sign or whatever it is, if you just sort of laugh, it really upsets them. It really does.
But
as you say, then run.
When a township taxi hoots, you don't have a screaming fit. You just stop your car and you smile and you wave and you let them go.
That's true.
Everybody waves back. They all wave back.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's so easy for people to wave back. So wave first and see what happens. It's very nice. It's very nice.
So we have actors all over, and you know that the Oscars is coming up. It's going to be played out tomorrow morning. Is that something you watch? Does that interest you?
Well, I don't know if I can watch because of load shedding.
Yeah.
Crap.
Oh, for a silly minute, I forgot about that.
Oh, God. No, I think it's going to be very interesting. I think there's some wonderful films this year. Again, people who, through COVID and during COVID, allowed themselves to be terribly brave and tell stories that hadn't been told for a long time. And I think Michelle Yeoh? What's her wonderful name?
I think it's Michelle Yeoh,
Michelle Yeoh. Beautiful. I hope she gets the Oscar for performance. I think that movie, I haven't seen it yet. Everything, Anywhere, and More, whatever. I can't
I know, I mean, all the names this year, you're like, you start in the things of Iva Viva, whatever, yeah, but anyway.
I think also the Australian lady who was the conductor, yes. I've forgotten her name.
Gosh, we're having one of those. Do you remember when you go to a place and you remember that film and it was filmed in, what was that place? Cate Blanchett, there we go.
No, that's why when in doubt, say darling. I call everybody darling because I can't remember their names. I think there's a great selection of very, very good and talented people, and I hope a third-rate comedian doesn't slap a third-rate comedian on stage there again, the Oscars. Nonsense, you know, bad.
And Cate Blanchett, you know, it's a woman turning the tables. I remember seeing a play, I think it was called Eliana by David Hare, and it was about when a woman turns onto a man with sexual harassment. And it's so shocking, isn't it? Because it does happen.
Yes. No, I think Blanchett, amazing performer. All of them are extraordinary. So we'll see, cross our fingers and just see. And it's also lovely. I love watching it live. I get up in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I watch it live because it's the one thing that people don't die. Usually live means people are dying, but the Oscars means, they're dying on stage because their dress fell off. But it's just such a wonderful celebration of nonsense. I love it.
But I don't know what they're expecting this year. I don't know if you heard earlier on that because of the slap incident, security has been beefed up there. So I don't know if they, you know, they think that everyone's going to start, you know, I don't know, slapping each other.
Maybe slapping or whipping their willies out and waving. Who knows?
That would be good to watch. Tell us, okay, so you touched on your next gigs. Tell us what's coming up and how we can get to see it.
Well, Sell By Date is going into the Peter Turin's Monte Cassino Theatre on the 19th of April for 4 weeks. Sell By Date, that's me, me and my shadows. And then the second volume of one-man shows, which is going to be called the Madiba Rainbow Honeymoon, comes out on the 27th of April, and that will go into my website, free to eye, so anybody and everybody who wants to read and enjoy it. And I must just say that what the first volume, which came out in November last year, I sent it to schools, the schools I visited with my AIDS program all those years ago, and the wonderful feedback was that the kids have chosen sketches out of the sketches in the book, and like many of the young girls did the Winnie Mandela sketch, and then they said, but why was Winnie Mandela in a show in 1985? And that's where the history comes back, because history is not actually being taught. And so if this book can go into the public domain where people can look at it and see and say, what does it mean? Is it good? Is it bad? Whatever. It is free to eye, and nobody has to pay. You know, people haven't got 500 grand to buy a book of things that happened 40 years ago. But if it's there, and the kids are, that's an interesting people, because the young people say, really? You didn't really do that. What was really did? Was apartheid something that I couldn't sit on the bench because it was whites only? The children who are now 9 years old say, oh, yellow man, it was Mao. It was Mao, but people died because of Mao, you know. So anyway, so that's the second book coming out on the 27th of April. And then I've got another show coming up at the end of the year called Nkandla Kosweti, which is a combination of Nkandla and Babeti Kosweti, where Evita Besaidnet is taken to task because she's brought the party into disrepute. So Liz Mayering and I are performing various characters, and then Evita will be there to actually spill the beans. So we'll have Fikile will be there as well. I'm going to have them all in the show. We're all going to have a wonderful celebration of... I'm doing also Donald Trump. I'm also doing a Cyril Ramaphosa in the new show, by the way. I've got a little sketch for him.
We shall watch. Happens. Peter Dirkace, always wonderful talking to you, and I really appreciate your time. Thank you.